from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
You know, I wanted to kind of like put out a heartfelt message, and sometimes those are better as monologues than they are dialogues.
So without me saying like, hey, you're a loser and blah, blah, blah. Like,
exactly. Yeah, okay. You're naysaying. Your naysaying was not welcomed.
Well, it's just that you are a loser and therefore...
Touché, brother.
Indeed.
Touché. Okay, just to let you know what the actual... I talked about last radio show basically asking you guys to be patrons. We are looking for, we have basically two sites. We have this one and we have fightliquor.com. We're looking for a total of 1,000 patrons. That's our goal by next year. And, you know, in order to be able to facilitate that growth, well, what we decided to do is we're going to turn up the content, because we're not going to start making, this radio show pay only, because that would just kind of be lame. Mm. That would be stupid. But we are going to be, recording two podcasts a week. And for the months of the entire month of March, it's good. That second podcast is going to be free. But after that, it's an exclusive member only. So that's, we're going to be turning on that membership stuff at the end of March, just so we can prove to you that it's actually worth it.
And hopefully we can be one of the few people making money off of hating God.
Actually, the only one, really. We'd be the only pay atheist podcast, which is, you know, kind of a, ooh, look at us. Mm. Yeah, I want to be at that status. Somebody asked me, what do you do? Well, I charge people money to listen to me talk on God. Mm. Or, well, really the non-existence of this dude. Mm. But that's how I make my money, bro.
It's not too shabby.
Hopefully it'll work. You know what? We want to kick up the content. We're also working on some pretty hilarious videos for Good Atheist 2, just to kind of...
You're paying us for good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You're not just paying us for radio shows. You're paying us to be able to make all kinds of different content. And that goes along, too, because we have a lot of fans that are actually fans of this show and fans of our other MMA stuff. So a bunch of atheist MMA lovers.
Yeah.
And, it makes sense if you're an atheist and you like mixed martial arts, because you obviously have to be a heathen son of a bitch.
Who loves violence. No morals, no standards.
And I have no morals.
None.
I actually wrote today... a column, it came from Atheist Revolution, which was, here are the atheist stereotypes. So I decided, I'm going to be honest with myself, and I'm going to see what kind of stereotypes that I am in terms of an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
oh, you are a bucket full of atheist stereotypes. It is enjoyable. You're the loud, so yep. sure of himself, always yep. talking about it. Always
disdainful
of, yep. butting heads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm a walking stereotype, except for the whole, you know, that I'm filled with hatred. I like to think I'm grumpy, you know, rather than hate-filled. Because hate-filled is just one of those things where you're walking around with a big ball of blackness in your heart, and you're just like, I hate everything. And I'm not like that. I'm just like, these people are stupid.
I don't think anybody has ever challenged you, your belief system enough, or oppressed you enough religiously in order for you to hate them.
You know what it is? It's that I've never cared enough about what people who would try to reduce or attack my beliefs have to say. So I just don't give a shit what they think. And I know that a lot of people give a crap at what other people think. You know, their family members, their friends, they give a crap. I'm just like, if you judge me, I don't give a crap about you.
Mm. Oh, wait a second. Okay. That's easy to say when you didn't have anybody important to you actually doing it. But like, I know your dad hates God.
Yes, he does.
And your mom is kind of a question mark. Does she believe in the secret too, like my mom?
I think so.
Ah.
Well, she didn't really watch it. You know, she is your typical kind of, you know, mom when it comes to that stuff. You
Where
know,
she's like that sounds nice. I like the idea of that.
Exactly. But can't the whole world live like that?
Hasn't really thought it through, and hasn't really thought of the scientific implications of people thinking rape onto themselves.
Or yeah, there's that, and there's also the fact that I don't think they've really just thought about the grander scheme of what that would mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the implication that the secret says, well, there's plenty for everyone. Mm. There's no scarcity. That's a concept that people have invented.
Mm.
I'm like, no.
But I mean, my key point is, it's easy for you to say that you don't really care about what other people think, but you've never really had somebody that you've really admired and respected that has those beliefs, basically shit on you. Yeah.
Okay, well, let me give you an example, and I think this encapsulates well why I don't give a crap about what people think. If you ever saw me walking down the road, then you would know what kind of man I am, Because if I'm listening to music and I'm walking down the road, I'm dancing. I'm dance walking. And, you know, I get a lot of funny faces from people, and I don't really give a shit what they think. Because, you know what? I'm having a good time. And that's pretty much my life. Having a good time. Don't really give a shit what other people are thinking. Ta-da!
Very nice.
The proof is in the pudding. Mm. And the pudding is vanilla chocolate swirl.
I just think you've built yourself up because, as I said, you've never had a parent that was very negative about your outcomes or anything else like that. So you've managed to build yourself up to a higher point that other people have where you're basically invulnerable.
You don't understand, though. You don't understand because you are very, very, very sensitive. You're a sensitive man. You know, you get two people in the comment section saying...
I'm hardcore.
You get two people in the comments saying, like, Ryan, I think that you were really grumpy, and you're just like, aw.
Hey, they didn't call me grumpy. They said I was a bad atheist. Am I going to have to start the badatheist.net?
I don't know. That's up to you. Although I will be the psychic to that podcast. Mm. I think I quite enjoy that idea. But no, you are far more sensitive than I am. Look, I've always been independent, okay? Independent-minded my entire life. You can ask my parents. Mm. It's always been like this. It just turns out that they're supportive. And if they weren't supportive, I probably wouldn't talk to them. Mm. It's just that simple. I'm fucking cold like that, motherfucker. Cold. Mm. Cold ice. Okay, let's talk about one thing that I wanted to discuss.
Are we going to talk about the stereotypes and what they are or anything else like that? Or
do you want to go through the stereotypes?
Yeah, let's do it, because I'd love to know what they are, and I'd like to see if I fall into any of them.
Okay, let's deal with the first stereotype, the list. Here we go. Okay, politically liberal is the first one.
I fall into that.
Okay,
actually, here's the deal. I actually realized that I am actually a...
fiscal conservative?
No. I'm a social libertarian, a socialist libertarian, which means that the only reason I think the government should do anything is to help the people that live in the country, you know what I mean? Everything else above and beyond that should be completely left out.
So you're...
I'm like,
you want to destroy the UN, then.
I just want to say that healthcare is like number one, and taking care of each other, and a safety net and everything that. But past that, I'm like, keep the government out of everything else.
Keep them out of my face.
Keep them out of my face unless they want to heal my face.
Yeah.
Or help my face.
I'm going to fucking shoot those cops. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Okay, the next one is that you hate Christians. That's a stereotype. Now, or hate Christianity. Now, I hate Christianity. I admitted this. But I don't hate Christians. I just hate the system. I hate the organization. The institution in general, I do not like this institution. Mm. The people who believe in it are just people like me and you. I mean, I'm not going to hate on them for what they believe because I can understand why they believe it. But it's still, I'm like, this institution, this idea is poison.
I don't know. You got to look at it from a big picture. I mean, okay, you say Christianity, this is our pie. The Christianity pie.
I like how you made a square when you said the pie.
No, I
went
like that.
No, you made a square.
Whatever.
You wanted a square pie.
We could say it's
the
square.
Let's eat the square pie. It'll be delicious.
Fine. But we got this pie. And say that how much good and how much bad do you think Christians as a whole put into the world? Because, I mean, you can't say it's all bad, it's all good. And I'll say that Christianity, one of the big good things that they did was they made God less of an asshole. And, I mean, if we were still stuck on the Old Testament, all of us, it would be hell.
But you know what? If they had kept it... If they had kept God as the asshole, then it would still be just as many...
Well, God is still bad cop. Jesus is good cop.
Okay, but look at this. The Jews believe in the Old Testament. They're not a bunch of assholes.
Yes, they are.
Oh, my God!
No,
you didn't. So, Ryan hates Jews. Okay, I hate
Christianity. Is that another one of the stereotype things?
No, it was just Christianity.
Okay.
Judaism is probably ignored because you know what? Judaism doesn't go around converting other people, and I respect that. I like that. Mm. Sure, you can have a bummer God, but if you just say, you're not invited unless you want it, that's fine. I mean, they don't proselytize, which is great. Mm-hmm. Christianity and Islam, they proselytize. They annoy me.
Yeah.
They annoy me. Okay, the next one is that we're grumpy. And I admit I'm grumpy, but in a charming way. I'm grumpo charm.
I guess you're only grumpy when you're dealing with religious people or on religious topics. I mean...
Yeah, generally I don't think I'm a grumpy person anymore.
Here's basically the atheist dialogue. Christians or religious people do something bad like bury someone up to their neck and stone them with gigantic rocks and we go, oh, we don't like that. Sorry, we're grumpy. Sorry about that.
Or this Muslim guy who beheads his wife. Mm. Oh, well, that made me a little grumpy.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
So, yeah, atheists in general are grumpy because when we talk about this stuff, it does make us grumpy. And I think that's probably why we're popular, because even though we are grumpy, We're funny grumpy.
We're charmingly grumpy. Mm. The next one is that you're prideful and you have no humility. And you know what? That's bang on.
That is you.
That is bang on.
Not for me, though.
You?
Yeah.
No. You are also you also have a lot of pride, but you just mask it.
I think
with a lot of insecurities.
I think I fall into a good cat. Like I think that I got because of my general distrust for the Jews. That falls into a Catholic type area as well. And also Catholics,
I
have guilt and doubt.
You know what?
I think I probably fall more into the Catholic, specifically Catholic area than I do into atheism.
I guess it kind of makes sense, right? There's a bit of there's a Catholic side to your family kind of a thing. Is there in
no,
Ireland?
No. We're the Protestants.
Oh, you're Protestant Irish?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, they still like the whole sin thing. And,
like
and
just to it.
So Christians in general obsessed with sin.
I'm pretty sure my uncle wouldn't have married my aunt if she was Catholic. That's how hardcore Protestant they are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is where apparently atheists are sexually promiscuous. And, I have to admit that I've been promiscuous quite a deal. But now, you know, I have a regular girlfriend, so I don't need to be promiscuous anymore. Can you still be promiscuous when you're having sex with the same person, but you're just doing nasty things to them?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I mean, basically, probably what they define promiscuous as is having sex.
Doggy style.
Having sex for fun and just having lots of it and just being generally filthy.
I am filthy, filthy human being. Mm. Okay, and The other one is more interested in science than the average person. So obviously, I read science books as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty true.
I guess I fall into it in a very lazy way.
You like hearing me tell you about what I read in the science book.
That's not. I mean, I keep up on news better than you do. So I keep up with you're book smart, but I keep up with the news and I love all the scientific stuff in there.
Okay,
so.
Fair enough.
There we go.
I just don't. I don't have 10,000 things in my Google Reader.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like to read the book and go in depth.
Yeah.
Because I always find that anytime you're hearing something about science, it's always like this bullshit fucking article saying chocolate gives you cancer. And I'm ignore.
One week it's chocolate gives you cancer. Another week it's chocolate doesn't give you cancer. Chocolate actually helps you not get. I'm like, oh, they gotta stop giving money to these people trying to figure out what cancer is and isn't caused by. I got a nice little top three list: radiation, radiation, and radiation. Stay away from it; you'll be fine.
That's a pretty good one. Okay, here are some things that I am not, and these are stereotypes. These are the negative stereotypes.
Oh, wait a minute. These are more stereotypes on the list that you actually dodge.
That I dodge.
Okay.
That I'm not part of. So number one, I am not evil. At least, I don't think I'm evil. I've never killed anyone, small animal or human.
No, so, you're generally good. I'd give you that.
Okay, so I'm not militant, according to the stereotype.
Okay, so
atheists
wait a second. I'm a bit confused. Is this the list of things that atheist
that are still,
revolution
still part
says?
Of the atheist atheist revolution says these are the stereotypes that people believe about atheists.
So they think that atheists are evil.
Are people out there that aren't atheists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't know this?
I had a general idea that they probably thought we were immoral, but evil seems pretty strong.
I would actually agree with that. You know, people who think that godlessness suddenly means that you're Satanist. These are the kind of people.
I mean, all of these people obviously know atheists are people that they feel are so lame at being religious that they might as well be atheists. They don't hate them like that. For the most part, they have that kind of, oh, I pity that you're going to be burning in hell forever. Ooh, it's so sad to me. Come back.
Yeah, but they have to. Some of those people who think you're going to be burning in hell have to believe that you're also burning in hell because not believing in Jesus is just definitely evil. It is worthwhile you going to hell for not believing in this dude, according to them. So just not believing? Pretty evil, apparently. They're like, how could you turn away his love? You must have no love in your heart. And I'm just saying, like, whoa, dude.
Yeah, okay, I see.
Stop making assumptions about me.
Okay, good. Now that we got that cleared up, let's go on.
Okay, that apparently atheists are all very angry. And you know what? To some degree, this is what we were saying before with the whole grumpiness. Because grumpy, angry, you know, those are fucking confusing. But for the most part, when we read about crazy shit like, you know, Catholic or Christian priests in Nigeria torturing and killing children and calling them witches, I get a little angry.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little angry. I'm sorry, but that's the whole thing. So that's the same conversation.
Grumpy and angry, it's the same thing. Note to all the guys out there, if your girlfriend is grumpy, she's actually angry at you for something. And you have to figure out what it is. So it's the same thing.
Okay, the other one is that apparently atheists are mean and stingy.
You're pretty mean and stingy.
Stingy with money or just stingy in general?
Stingy in general. Okay, with money. Yes, with money.
Okay, well, that's because I have to manage our budget.
Yep.
So,
I'm now going back to donating to the good atheist.
Why is that important? Because I have to be stingy, because if I'm not stingy and we have a month where we just spend money on whatever we want, we will be broke.
Yep.
We will be bankrupt. So the stinginess is necessary. Meanness. Does stinginess make a person mean? Well, sometimes it's kind of mean that you can't enjoy your life as much as you'd like to, but that's like saying that's mean with the Y at the end, meanie. Mm. Being a meanie and being mean are different. Mm. Sometimes you have to be the bad guy, and I'm that bad guy.
Okay,
the next one is that atheists are immoral. Obviously, that's just fucking silly.
We've had a conversation, actually, with a friend of ours down in Columbus, or in Ohio, that I'm going to actually see next week. Again, about the idea of him asking, okay, you guys are atheists, then how can you be moral because you don't have this guide? And I guess he kind of used what would Jesus do. It's like, you know, lots of people, there's a reason it's a snappy little thing that everyone talks about.
It's so snappy that it's abbreviated and put on bracelets.
But we joke about it all the time because we find it hilarious. But lots of people actually kind of live by that mantra. It's like, what would Jesus do? And so without that, I think religious people don't really get how we can be moral people.
The problem is with that whole "what would Jesus do" question is that if you follow the New Testament, a lot of those answers would be send you to hell, and that is unfortunate. That is fucking unfortunate.
Well, again, that's the evil 50% of the whole Christian pie. And the other half,
that is the pie you can never ignore.
The other 50% could be, what would Jesus do? Jesus would go to Africa and try and fix that. And there are tons and tons of Christian people that are over there trying to make a difference. Now, sure, there's a bunch of atheists over there as well. So, you know, it's not mutually exclusive or anything, but I'm just putting it out there. But did we ever talk about don't be a dick as a religion?
No, I don't think we did.
Are we done with this?
There's one more. That apparently atheists trample people's right for free religious expression. And my whole thing is saying, like, listen, I've never really tried to stop anybody from expressing themselves religiously. Obviously, anytime a person puts a post up, you know, saying, even on my site, on thegoodatheist.net, saying, oh, you know, you guys should believe in Jesus and that kind of stuff, I'm not going to censor this person.
Yeah.
You know, they're allowed to fucking say their opinion as much as they want, yeah. And it's the same with me. You just have to deal with the fact that you're not going to be happy with the way that a person expresses themselves, and just be happy about that. Be comfortable with it. Don't start running around saying, like, I'm being oppressed, bro.
Yeah, but this is on a bigger scale. Religious people don't even realize how well they have it, because they're complaining about, say, oh, we're not saying the prayer at the beginning of the school day anymore. I'm like, well, what do you think that makes the little Indian and Muslim kids feel like when you got to do the Lord's Prayer? And you know, situations where, oh, you want to have the nativity scene up at the White House and stuff like that. That's the kind of thing that they consider to be
a point of contention.
Yeah, a point of contention where we're trying to get rid of their religious freedom of expression. They don't even realize that it's basically trampling our ability to live lives without their religion beating us over the head.
It's really preventing other people from having their religious expression, because they're saying, like, you know what? You know, like, there's no room for your crazy Hindu nativity. And even if they try to do that whole thing, saying, like, well, we're going to allow every religion in, you're just like, you don't want to do that because there are way too many.
Yep.
And you just, it's best to take the attitude saying, stay the fuck out of everybody's face.
Yeah, because there's a crazy guy down on Fifth Street that worships a piece of white dog poo. Now, are you going to let him create a white dog poo sculpture in the White House
to
celebrate
room.
White poo Christmas?
I kind of enjoy that holiday myself, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the food at White Poo Christmas. It's so delicious. Okay, so anything in that stereotype you wanted to add that maybe wasn't covered? I couldn't think of anything. I thought it was a pretty comprehensive list.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. It's not too shabby at all.
I just like how it was pretty much half of those stereotypes. So, you know,
well, the other half were kind of like corny, like, this is what they got wrong, and they think about that. So, like, don't pat yourself on the back because... You know,
are you just saying don't pat yourself in the back that you only got half because you're still an atheist stereotype?
No, yeah, exactly.
Jeez, man.
Sorry, but you
don't
are.
Don't label me. All right, let's talk about something that I just wrote about a couple of hours ago. It's actually about this Christian campaign The response to the bus, atheist bus ads.
Man, that atheist bus ad thing.
It just keeps going.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so much momentum to this, it just doesn't stop. We called it wrong, man, at the beginning. Yeah, no. We're all like, this is stupid. But
it's okay. We've already apologized for missing the point. For missing the point completely on that.
Absolutely.
One.
And here's what's really interesting. With them firing back, because I love to see what the reaction is. Mm-hmm. I mean, forget the ad itself. I think that in terms of the message of the ad, it could have been anything, but it's watching the response. So one of the responses was like there was these Christians that put up this giant, you know, ad in front of their church, and it basically says, if God probably doesn't exist, better start worrying. And the photo in the background is, I believe, the London Stock Exchange with
with the arrow crashing,
the arrow crashing down. So apparently you have to worry about God economically as well.
God's gonna fix. Well, you gotta understand that there are people out there who leave everything to God. They're just like, God will sort it out. God will sort it out. God will sort it out. There's people down in the States that I was having a conversation with, and they were talking about how they were gonna buy a car, and they said, "We're gonna leave it. We're just gonna decide. We're gonna leave it in God's hands, and He'll give us a sign." And then as soon as they said that, they were sitting in a diner. They looked outside, and this like purple car pulled into the spot right next to their booth, and they're like, God just told us, purple car. And these people leave,
holy shit,
it's like they leave everything in God's hand, and as far as they're concerned, it doesn't matter what Obama does or anybody else does. It's God will fix it, or He won't. And hopefully, if you believe and other people's don't, He'll fix it for you a little bit earlier.
Oh,
and He won't pull
man.
A what was that was who was it that who is it that got completely ass raped by God? Was it not Abraham, right?
Oh, you mean you're talking not Job. Yeah, it was Job. Job.
Yeah, there you
Job
go.
Job who got fucked, you know, because God and the God devil have a bet. And he's like, and the devil keeps being able to fuck with Job again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And then and Job still believes, despite the fact that all his kids are dead, his, you know, property is gone, everything else like that. And he's like, thank you so much for letting me have those things to begin with.
Yeah. So everybody just thinks they're a Job right now, but soon enough, God's going to be like, I was just fucking with you, and here's all your stuff back.
You got to hate that deity who would do that. I just got to fuck with you guys once in a while to just test your faith, but I'm going to make it all good.
Well, what was it? Do you remember back after 9/11? Were they saying that more people became atheists or more people became religious? Because I'm pretty sure that it caused a lot of people to rethink everything. You got to think about stuff like, I mean, the stock market crash doesn't really matter, but you got a 9/11 did something, and I'm pretty sure the tsunami probably changed a lot of people's ideas about life and death and religion and everything else like that.
I don't know, because you know what? I think still at the end of the day, an event like 9/11 is becomes a political conversation rather than just a religious one.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, a person could say, oh, I've become more religious. No, you've just become more fanatical in your religion because you see the world religiously as a religious war.
All of a sudden, you recognize the whole Christianity versus Islam angle.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, that is very clear to me now.
Exactly. So you see that as sort of like the ramifications of one religion fighting against another one.
Okay.
Right?
Well,
you see it in that political, even though it's a religious political spectrum.
Yeah. But I mean,
you can't separate the two.
Look at the tsunami. Because to me, it's like, if they're like, if God doesn't exist, then you better start worrying. And I'm like, man, He just sent a wave that wiped out half of Thailand.
That was because of the homosexuals.
Well, it's true.
And then they see it. That is so insidious.
And then
so insidious.
Well, what about the sinking? See, I mean, here's the whole... anyways, I think you get my point.
And obviously, you don't have to make it more... I think everybody understands that point. But one of the things that I just realized right now is, you know how people say, well, you know, their conflict is political, it's not religious. And I'm telling people, you have to understand that politics is its own type of... I mean, religion is its own type of politics.
Mm.
You can't just suddenly say, well, that's just political and therefore not religious. No, the interaction between different religions is a political system. Just because they're not countries, there's still ideologies that clash. This is a political movement. So yeah, I'm like, it's political. It's religio-political, if I can coin this phrase.
Yeah, and that's why you got to pay attention to everything that comes out of the Vatican, because they've got political pull.
Yep, they're their own country, in a sense, and their population lives all over the place. And they follow whatever these idiots tell them to. You know, and they're just different affiliations that people have. Like, you can be an American and you can be a Catholic, and most of the time you hope that those don't conflict, but sometimes it can.
I just find it freaking terrifying. You know, people talk about what you want in a president and which religion is allowed and which isn't, but I'm like, man, imagine having a Catholic president who answers to the Pope.
Scary. Especially this freaking Pope.
Yeah.
Scary. Okay, let's move on to the next bit of item before we wrap up the show. It's actually about this Pew Forum report that came out. Basically, it was this survey that they gave a bunch of Congress people to kind of see what the religious
makeup was.
And there were 22 of the respondents that were found to be either agnostics or atheists, but they didn't want their names or anything else like that to be released to the public, save for one. Mm-hmm. And that was, what's his name? Pete Stark. You know, it sounds like the...
It's like Tony Stark's brother.
Yeah, I know. he's a congressman
points,
from...
sir, not just one.
I know,
two.
What a cool fucking name. Anyways, he's a congressman for Northern California.
Awesome.
He came out, and what happened was when he did, he got thousands of letters from people saying, like, from all over the fucking world, saying, like, oh, you know, I think it's great, and it took so much courage. He was surprised as hell. I mean... He's been reelected. I think after he came out. So the question that people asked is being an atheist or is being agnostic political suicide? Mm. And you know, something like that is interesting because it brings up the possibility that no, it might not be political suicide.
Well, you know, California plays by its own rules.
Yeah, but this is still Northern California. Off. You know what? This is not like you have to understand that California still has some nut jobs there, religious nut jobs in California. Yeah. I mean, they did by majority vote say yes on Prop 8, which was to, you know, make gay marriage illegal. So it's not as though this is a left wing only sort of like la-di-da land.
It's just normally all of the ignorant people are too lazy to go out and vote.
Well, it's just that they're overwhelmed by a majority that are more left-leaning. But, at the end of the day, it's kind of interesting that a person that is in Congress is essentially out and that 21 others will not tell you their fucking religious affiliation.
I don't know. I think you got to look at the crushing number of people who would have voted him down if it was turned into basically an issue. And I honestly think he probably got reelected because it slid under the radar. And plus, it's a congressional election, so less people showed up to vote than...
Well, he's the incumbent. I mean, the incumbents have like a 98%.
Yeah, you've got incumbents that have, like, done some pretty horrific stuff. I'm sure there have been incumbents who have molested kids who almost won again.
Tom DeLay, isn't he still in Congress or something like that, and he's a douche?
I can't remember the specifics on what happened.
Pretty sure that it has something to do with him being part of a company that had sweatshop factories in Puerto Rico and like all kinds of crazy stuff. But he managed to deflect that with the whole Terry Schiavo thing. So everybody kind of ignored the fact that he was making profiteering off
because
of
he only cares about people who are completely comatose and hooked up to machines.
Yeah, not workers though. If you're a worker for $3, not even $3, for $1.50 a day, he's like, you're a good American or... I guess pseudo-Americans. What are Puerto Ricans considered anyways?
Workhorses.
American workhorses with no rights.
It's basically what they are, is a Made in America tag where you can still fuck people over.
Yep, that's pretty much what those islands are. Okay, there is one more thing that I wanted to talk about, and this is just kind of like our wrap-up about the whole patron thing. Because I wanted you, Ryan, to tell everybody, because I'd already said why they should... become patrons, but you know you're the other half of the show, so I thought maybe you'd want to make a few words to the people out there that are kind of still on the fence, thinking why should I pay for an extra good atheist show a week?
Here's the deal. The way I look at it is, if you like what we do and you want more of it, then you can buy more of it. If you don't, then don't worry about it. If you enjoy one show a week and that's it, then good on you. But if you want to, then buy two, and we'll give you two. And that's basically...
It's a very simple model.
It's as simple as that, you know? It's like, I don't want to get down to the point where people feel like we're begging and whining and this and that for things. It's just, if the show is good enough, then support us. If it's not good enough, tell us you're almost there, but this and that, you know? Give us some feedback on what you guys want. We'll give you what you want.
Absolutely, because, you know, here's the thing. The patronage system puts the focus on you guys. I mean, we're not interested in advertisers. Definitely not for the good atheist. Okay, I'll be honest.
Kellogg's like, not knocking on our door.
No, and you know what? Who would advertise on an atheist podcast? Seriously, like there are a lot of companies that just don't want to be associated with it. And I can understand it's a very controversial issue. Mm-hmm. When we live in controversy, we have to ask people to suddenly say, you know, we want to make this a full-time gig, and we need your help.
And unfortunately, all the big atheist organizations and stuff out there, they're all full of 60-year-olds who are way too goddamn stuffy, and they can't reach out to the kids. We reach out to the kids.
We are the kids.
We are the kids. We speak your language.
We do. We say fuck all the time, and that's how you talk, isn't it?
Yep.
Isn't it? You just like hearing that word. That's why you tune in.
So yeah, there's no way we're getting picked up by anybody. So we need to turn to somebody who will support us. And I think everybody, you guys have obviously shown that you love the show. So if you guys want more, then we're giving you the option to buy more. If not, don't worry about it.
You'll still get that one a week, just not the extra one. But I think that you guys are going to get addicted to two shows a week pretty damn fast, you know? It's like after 4 weeks and all of a sudden we turn down that tap, you're going to be like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah, here's the deal. We promise to work harder on putting these shows together, not being and to not be as ignorant as we have been in the past.
Yeah, we're also hoping to kind of upgrade our equipment a little bit. We're going to put in some money to do that. We want a bit of a richer sound. We want to be able to kind of get a mixing board there to add some
get Jake's voice in there
stuff.
So you can sit on a speaker and masturbate to it.
We're going to turn up the bass just a little bit on my voice. And you know you ladies are going to love it.
All you immoral, evil atheists out there. Atheist
all you sexually promiscuous ladies out there are going to be able to masturbate to my voice much, much easier. Much more easier.
Awesome. Okay, I think that's enough shilling. We're also going to try and keep the shilling down to like 2 minutes an episode or something.